Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
The Fair Maid of Astolat, Part 2. The knights that were fighting against the king's party took heart, for they had feared they would be beaten. But when Sir Bors saw this, he called unto him the knights that were of kin to Sir Lancelot, and they banded together to make a great charge, and threw Sir Lancelot's horse to the ground. And by misfortune the spear of Sir Bors broke, and its head was left in Sir Lancelot's side. When Sir Lavaine saw that, he unhorsed the King of Scots, and brought his horse to Sir Lancelot, and helped him to mount thereon, and gave him a spear, with which Sir Lancelot smote Sir Bors to the earth, and Sir Ector de Maris, the foster father of King Arthur, and buffeted sorely the knights that were with them. Afterwards he hurled himself back into the thick melee of them all, and did the most wonderful deeds that were ever heard of. Sir Lavaine likewise did well that day, for he smote down 2 full knights of the Round Table. "Mercy," again cried Sir Gawain to Sir Arthur, "I marvel that knight that is there with the red sleeve." "That you shall know soon," said King Arthur, and commanded that the trumpets should be blown, and declared that the prize belonged to the knight with the white shield, who bore the red sleeve, for he had unhorsed more than 30 knights. The kings and the lords who were of his party came round him and thanked him for the help he had given them, by which means the honours of the day had been theirs. "Fair lords," said Sir Lancelot, "if I have deserved thanks, I have paid for them sorely, for I shall hardly escape with my life. Therefore I pray you let me depart, for my hurt is grievous." Then he groaned piteously, and galloped from them to a wood's side, followed by Sir Lavaine. "Oh, help me, Sir Lavaine," said he, "to get this spear's head out of my side, for it is killing me." But Sir Lavaine feared to touch it, lest Sir Lancelot should bleed to death. "I charge you," said Sir Lancelot, "if you love me, draw out the head." So Sir Lavaine drew it out. Sir Lancelot gave a great shriek and a marvellously grisly groan, and his blood flowed out so fast that he fell into a swoon. "Oh, what shall I do?" cried Sir Lavaine, and he loosed Sir Lancelot's helm and coat of mail, and turned him so that the wind might blow upon him, but for full half an hour he lay as if he had been dead. At last Sir Lancelot opened his eyes and said, "O Lavaine, help me to my horse, for 2 miles from this place there lives a hermit who once was a knight of the Round Table, and he can heal my wounds." Then Sir Lavaine, with much ado, helped him onto his horse, and brought him bleeding to the hermit. The hermit looked at him as he rode up, leaning piteously on his saddle bow, and he thought that he should know him, but could not tell who he was for the paleness of his face, till he saw, by a wound on his cheek, that it was Sir Lancelot. "You cannot hide your name from me," said the hermit, "for you are the noblest knight in the world, and well I know you to be Sir Lancelot." "Since you know me, sir," said he, "help me, for God's sake, and for death or life, put me out of this pain." "Fear nothing," answered the hermit. "Your pain will soon be gone." And he called his servants to take the armor off the knight and laid him in bed. After that he dressed the wound and gave him good wine to drink, and Sir Lancelot slept and awoke free of his pain. So we will leave him to be healed of his wound under the care of the hermit, and go back to King Arthur. Now it was the custom in those days that after a tourney was finished, a great feast should be held, at which both parties were assembled. So King Arthur sent to ask the King of Northgalis where was the knight with the red sleeve, who had fought on his side. "Bring him before me," he said, "that he may have the prize he has won." Then answered the king with the 100 knights, We fear the knight must have been sore hurt, and that neither you nor we are ever likely to see him again, which is grievous to think of. Alas, said King Arthur, is he then so badly wounded? What is his name? Truly, said they all, we know not his name, nor whence he came, nor whither he went. As for me, answered King Arthur, these tidings are the worst I have heard these 7 years, for I would give all the lands I hold that no harm had befallen this knight. Do you know him? Asked they all. Whether I know him or not, said King Arthur, I shall not tell you, but may heaven send me good news of him. Amen, answered they. By my head, said Gawain, if this good knight is really wounded unto death, it is a great evil for all this land, for he is one of the noblest that I ever saw for handling a sword or spear. If he may be found, I shall find him, for I am sure he is not far from this town. So he took his squire with him, and they rode all around Camelot 6 or 7 miles on every side, but nothing could they hear of him. He returned heavily to the court of King Arthur. 2 days after, the king and all his company set out for London, and by the way, it happened to Sir Gawain to lodge with Sir Bernard of Astolat. When he was in his chamber, Sir Bernard and his daughter Elaine came unto Sir Gawain to ask him tidings of the court, and who did best in the tourney at Winchester. Truly, said Sir Gawain, there were 2 knights that bore white shields, but one of them had red sleeve upon his helm, and he was one of the best knights that ever I saw joust in the field, for I dare say he smote down 40 knights of the Round Table. Now blessed be God, said the maid of Astolat, that the knight sped so well, for he is the man in the world that I loved first, and he will also be the last that I shall ever love. Fair maid, said Sir Gawain, is that knight your love? Certainly he is, she said. Then you know his name? Asked Sir Gawain. Nay, truly, answered the damsel, I know neither his name nor whence he cometh, but I love him for all that. How did you meet him at first? Asked Sir Gawain. She told him the whole story, and how her brother went with Sir Lancelot and lent him the white shield of her brother Sir Tirre, and left his own shield with her. Why did he do that? Said Sir Gawain. For this cause, said the damsel, his shield was too well known among many noble knights. Ah, fair damsel, said Sir Gawain, I beg of you to let me have a sight of that shield. It is in my chamber, covered with a case, and if you will come with me, you shall see it. Not so, said Sir Bernard, and sent his squire for it. And when Sir Gawain took off the case and beheld the shield and saw the arms, he knew it to be Sir Lancelot's. Ah, mercy, cried he, my heart is heavier than ever it was before. Why? Said Elaine. I have great cause, answered Sir Gawain. Is that knight who owns this shield your love? Yes, truly, said she. I would I were his love. You are right, fair damsel. For if you love him, you love the most honorable knight in the world. I have known him for 24 years, and never did I, nor any other knight, see him wear a token of either lady or damsel at a tournament. Therefore, damsel, he has paid you great honor, but I fear that I may never behold him again upon earth, and that is grievous to think of. Alas, said she, how may this be? Is he slain? I did not say that, replied Sir Gawain, but he is sorely wounded, and is more likely to be dead than alive. And, maiden, by this shield I know that he is Sir Lancelot. How can this be? Said the maid of Astolat, and what was his hurt? Truly, said Sir Gawain, it was the man that loved him best who hurt him so, and I am sure that if that man knew that it was Sir Lancelot whom he had wounded, he would think it was the darkest deed that ever he did. "Now, dear father," said Elaine, "give me leave to ride and seek him, for I shall go out of my mind until I find him and my brother." "Do as you will," answered her father, "for I am grieved to hear of the hurt of that noble knight." And so the damsel made ready.